بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: رغم أنف رجل دخل عليه رمضان ثم انسلخ قبل أن يغفر له. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most respected elders and brothers, 2 months prior to the month of Ramadan, when the moon of Rajab was sighted, and we all began reciting the dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. At that time, the thought at the back of every person's mind was, now I have to gear up and I have to get ready for the month of Ramadan. And the month of Rajab came and went, the month of Sha'ban came and went, and it feels just like yesterday, just like yesterday, we were welcoming and ushering in the blessed month of Ramadan. And it feels like just like last night, that the huffaz in the various masajid took their places on the musallas, and he started Alif Lam Mim Dhalikal Kitabu La Rayba Fi. And like that, in a blink of an eye, in a blink of an eye, here we find ourselves at the tail end of Ramadan, at the closing stages of the month of Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that whatever little effort we made in this month, no matter how broken it was, no matter how deficient it was, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must accept from us. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Kareem. Al-Kareem huwa may yu'ti bila istihqaq. Kareem is that that, is that being who gives even though the recipient is not entitled, is not worthy of receiving. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Kareem to accept from us our little and broken efforts and a'mal. But now, my dear brothers, as we Ramadan draws to a close, comes to an end, the challenge that many of us face, or should I say the question that many of us have to ask ourselves, is it going to be another Ramadan but the same old story? Another Ramadan but the same old story. That we go through the motions of the month, and then after Ramadan we go back to our old way of life, without carrying forward, without taking forward anything from this blessed and spiritually rejuvenating month of Ramadan. A person now thinks that now Ramadan is done and dusted, we're done with that. And now a person goes back to his life of sin, and he behaves as though he did not even notice, as though he did not even notice that he had gone through a month-long period of rigorous spiritual exercise and rigorous spiritual training. You must understand, my dear brothers, that this month of Ramadan is a very, very important, very, very important and honored guest sent to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this guest has come with bags of gifts. The gift of salah, the gift of fasting, the gift of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the gift of tilawat of Quran, the gift of taqwa, the gift of the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has come with all these gifts. And when the month of Ramadan leaves, it does not take these gifts back with it. Rather, it leaves all these gifts with us, and now it departs empty-handed. If a person in this world, a very, very important person, has to come to us, make a special visit, and he brings to us some very, very valuable gift, a very, very valuable gift, and as long as that person, we accept the gift from him, and as long as he's there in front of us, we show our appreciation towards his gift. But no sooner does this guest leave, we take this gift and we throw it in a dustbin. What will we say about this person? How ungrateful, what kind of ingratitude is this? Are we also going to be ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are we also going to be ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ خَوَّانٍ كَفُورٍ. Allah hates, Allah despises that person who is ungrateful to him. Ungrateful for what? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month, Allah allowed us to prostrate before him. Allah allowed us to perform salah. Wallahi, my dear brothers, there are people out there that, let alone not performing salah, for years they have not seen the inside of a masjid. For years they have not seen the inside of the masjid. A Jamaat went to Palestine last Ramadan, and he came back and told us that they met youngsters there. People who maybe for the last 8 or 10 years, namaz had been farz upon them. When they spoke them and spoke to them and took them to the masjid, these youngsters are telling them, we do not know how to make wudu. Let alone salah. They said, we do not even know how to make wudu. Teach us how to make wudu. Are we going to be ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this month allowed us on our filthy, dirty tongues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed us to take the pak kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are people out there, some of the ex-communist countries, that let alone knowing how to read Quran, they have not even seen a Quran in their entire life. How ungrateful are we going to be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? As though we're showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as though we're telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah, you are my Lord, and I am obedient to you in the month of Ramadan. But after Ramadan, I will do my own thing. My dear brothers, let us not see the day. Let us not see that day. Like many people in other parts of the world, where voluntarily, out of their own will, they do not worship Allah. They were not obedient to Allah. So Allah put such conditions upon them that now they are forced to prostrate and they are forced to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, my dear brothers, we find that as we come now to the end of this month of Ramadan, you find that each one of us here falls into one of four categories of people. One of four categories of people. The first category, the first group of people, and may Allah make us from those people. There are those people who prior to the month of Ramadan, in the month of Ramadan, and after the month of Ramadan, they are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are regular with their salah, they are regular with their tilawat of Quran. And as far as possible, they try to remain and stay away from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep these people steadfast, these kind of people steadfast. But the advice to these people is that do not let our ibadat, our worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala become a mere ritual which lacks the true spirit and the true zeal that is supposed to be performed with. And we should always check our intention that for what am I doing this? For who am I doing this? Our ustaz, Mawlana Abdul Haq Maqtas Sahib, Daam Barakatuhum, he mentioned incident to us about a person who for many years he stood in the front saf of the masjid. Every salah in the front saf of the masjid. And then one day it so happened he got delayed and he ended up in one of the back saps of the masjid. And at that time the thought crossed his heart. Ke log kya kehenge? Log kya kehenge? What will people say? Today, every day in the front saf, today you in the back saf. And this person was a pious person. He says he had to think about this. And all those years of salah he repeated. Because he had this doubt that perhaps I was not doing it for Allah. I was doing it to show people. And may give another advice to these people is do not ever think that now I am safe from my nafs and I am safe from shaitan. Nafs and shaitan will always try to attack us. Mawlana Makta says, he says like a person who's riding the same horse for the last 30 years, the same horse. But still when he rides that horse, he holds on tight to those reins. Because at the end of the day, this is a beast, this is an animal. We do not know when it will make an unexpected movement, which will throw us off that horse, which will injure us, and sometimes can be fatal. But so my dear, but the first group of people, those people who are always obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether the month of Ramadan or after the month of Ramadan, they are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you get the second group of people, who before the month of Ramadan, they are disobedient. They are living a life of sin. But then the month of Ramadan comes. And now this serves as a turning point in the life of this person. He makes up his mind, he makes a resolution that now I'm not going back to a life of sin. To these people the advice is, that be very, very firm, Nafs and shaitan are not going to let you go so easily. After the month of Ramadan, you will suffer and you will face a massive onslaught from nafs and shaitan. They will try to pull you back to sin. And if a person can withstand that initial onslaught, that initial attack from nafs and shaitan, then inshallah his path thereafter will become easier and easier. So that's the second group of people. And the third group of people are those people who, before the month of Ramadan, they are pious. They are disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then in the month of Ramadan, they try to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They switch the TV off. They do not go out on Saturday nights. They do not visit all the wrong places. But as soon as the month of Ramadan comes to an end, then these people go back to their old ways. And the fourth category of people are those people, may Allah save us from ever becoming like this. Those people, whether it's Ramadan or not, it does not make any difference to them. Their hearts are so immersed in sin, that even the month of Ramadan does not shake their hearts. Even the month of Ramadan does not awaken their hearts. Now, my dear brothers, today I just like to wish, I wish to share a few advices for myself firstly, and then for these last two groups in particular, and for all of us in general. And this advice are for myself. Advice is that how can we now try, what steps can we take to try to give up, and abandon a life of sin. At the end of the day, my dear brothers, tawfiq to stay away from sin only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ Allah ta'ala, يُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ أَنَّ تَلَى يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ Who Allah wishes, He gives guidance. Who Allah wishes, Allah leads him astray. Tawfiq is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we can also make some effort on our part to try to assist us to try to stay away from sins. So the first advice is that you must have a good intention. By good intention, I mean that a person has to have the intention that I am not going to commit sins. No matter what sin is involved in, have this intention in our heart that I am not going to commit sins. I have the intention to give up a life of sin. A person, a mu'min, who believes in Allah, who believes in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who believes in Jannat and Jahannam, he believes in Hisab. It is impossible that this person is walking on the face of this earth and he is sinning and he does not even have in his heart the intention to give up a life of sin. It's impossible that a believer lives his life like this. Go ahead and make that intention. Shaitan will try to dissuade us. Nafs will try to don't make the intention. You just go ahead and make that intention. If a person sincerely has this intention in his heart, that I want to give up sins, I'm involved in sins, but I want to give up sins, and he's sincere in his intentions, inshallah, Allah will look at that heart of that person, and Allah will see the sincerity in the heart of that person, and inshallah, the day will come when this person will give up sins. So the first important advice is have an intention to give up a life of sin. The second important advice is that we finish this month of Ramadan strongly. You know, in picture to be a race, a 100-meter sprint. Ask any, and our lives, my dear brothers, is one sprint, it is one race. Allah Ta'ala says, sabiqu ila mafratin min rabbikum wa jannatin 'abduha ka'abdis samai wal ard. Allah says, race and sprint towards my maghfirat and towards the jannat which I have prepared for you. So our life is one race. A person who's a sprinter, 100-meter sprinter, his ideal race that he aims to run is that he gets off to a flying start. He gets out of the blocks quickly. And then he builds up some momentum. And he gets into his stride quickly. And then at the ending, he wants to power home. Put on the afterburners, as they say. And he wants to power home. Finish off strongly. Likewise, my dear, in this month of Ramadan, this is supposed to be our attitude. That we start off the month strongly. We get off to a flying start. Get out from the blocks quickly. And then we build up the momentum during the middle part of Ramadan. And then as we draw towards the end of Ramadan, now we put on our afterburners. And now we try to finish off the month strongly. But sad to say, my dear brothers, many of us, when it comes to the latter part of Ramadan, now we become tired and we feel we must wind down. And then when we need to wind down, then we need the topi to match the kurta. And the wife needs the scarf to match the cloak. And the child needs the shoes to match the dress. So then we have to troll the malls. And then we have to go to these souks and fairs, which only by their names are Muslim. There's nothing Islamic about it. And then we all know very well what happens at these places here. And a person who made effort for so many days in the month, 25, 27 days of the month, he made effort. And now he wastes his effort. Like that sprinter who got off to a good start. And he was winning the race. And then at the last 30 meters of that 100 meters, He slows down to a jog. There's a good chance this person will be overtaken by all the others. So we put in that effort. We put in effort at the beginning. But then at the end of the month, we wind down. And then we waste all the effort that we had put in at the beginning of the month. And on the other hand, my dear brothers, weak people like us, who didn't get off to a good start. Like that racer who didn't get off to a good start. And he was lagging behind. But then at the ending, he really dug in. He put in that effort. Then there's... There's a chance that this person can also win the race. Al-a'malu bil khawatim. Allah judges actions according to how you round off that action, how you end off that action. So in these last few days of Ramadan, if we sincerely turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali rahmatullahi alayhi, in his Lataif al-Ma'arif, he mentions, فَالْمُبَادَرَةِ فالمبادرة إلى اختنام الأعمال فيما بقي من الشهر فعسى يستدرك به ما فات من ضياع العمر. That these last few days we have of Ramadan, these last few moments of Ramadan, value it, value it. It's perhaps through the value you show to these last few days of Ramadan that Allah Ta'ala uses this, your sincerity in these days, and Allah Ta'ala now by means of this compensates and it makes up for the beginning of Ramadan in which you were not so sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my dear brothers, Ramadan is not over as yet. Ramadan is not over as yet. We still have 2 or 3 full days of the month of Ramadan, and we still have 1 odd night. And that 1 odd night could possibly be the highlight of the month of Ramadan. The 29th night could possibly be the highlight of the month of Ramadan. In this world, if a person is going to some World Cup final, and he has bought an expensive VIP box ticket, and he comes to the match early, he's there hours before kickoff, he's there early, and he comes there and he takes his seat, and now he watches the curtain raiser, and he watches the exhibition matches, and just before kickoff of the highlight of that event, the highlight, he says, now I'm tired, I'm going home. Now I'm tired and I'm going home. People say, yeah, to bare bawqoof hai. This is a foolish person. Foolish person. You spend all that money. Peer of dunya will say. It's a very big fool this year. You spend all that money. You spend so many hours here. It's only 90 minutes left for you. Only 90 minutes of the final left. And now you are leaving. So likewise, my dear, but if we're going to wind down from now already, then we might be losing and we might be missing the highlight of the month of Ramadan. So the next advice is, finish the month strongly. Finish the month strongly. Then my dear brothers, the next important advice is salah. 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 Namaz. That we become very, very pabund upon our namaz. Wallahi, there is nothing, if a person observes and he preserves his salah, there is nothing more effective to help a person in giving up a life of sin. Allah Ta'ala himself in Quran Sharif mentions, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Hazrat Ji Mawlana Rasulullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, when he would translate this ayat, he would play on the pun of the word tanha. Tanha in Arabic means to stop, to prevent. And tanha in Urdu means by itself, alone. So he says, namaz tanha behayai oburi baato se rokti hai. That namaz by itself has the capacity and it has the ability to stop a person from committing all types of gunas. There was a person time Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One person came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rasulullah, this person, whole night performing salah. But daybreak he goes about and he's stealing from people. He's stealing from people. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, سَيَنْهَاهُ مَا تَقُولُ. If what you are saying, is true, that this person really performed salah the entire night, then there is great hope that the salah will soon stop him from that stealing that he is doing. I know of a person, a young man, who his father was very, very particular with him, very, 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 very particular about his salah. The father should worry about the salah of the son, to such an extent that this son, he will go do all his nonsense. He will do all his nonsense. But salah time comes, he'll make sure he goes and performs salah. In fact, he told me on one occasion, he was at a party. And the time for salah came. He left that party, he took a walk to the masjid nearby, read his salah, and then he came back to the party. But that person, eventually day came when he changed his life. He changed his life. And that person had become an alim after that. And he himself says, the only reason why I say Allah has allowed me to study deen, because my father was very strict upon me about salah. And that now caused me to become an alim of deen, alhamdulillah. So my dear brother, salah is very, very important. Very, very important. Let us make this intention that come what may, I will make it a point that from now on, every salah, I will find no excuse to miss out my salah. And as far as possible, I will perform my salah in the masajid and in those places where salah is performed in congregation. And if that is not possible, my dear brothers, we are in an airport or we are in a mall or in the aeroplane, do not ever feel shy to prostrate your head before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some people out there, shyness. How can I do this here? How can I perform? People are there. People are going to see me. Do not feel shy to perform salah, to prostrate before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today a person says, I'm gay and I'm proud. I'm gay and I'm proud about it. A youngster like the youngsters we have today, it with his earphones in his ears and his hair spiked up, and he walks with his pants half falling down, his underwear showing, and he in his own world, he's walking down the street, he doesn't care about what anyone says. But this mu'min, this believer, to fulfill the maqsad of his life, to fulfill the purpose of his life, to bow down to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's very, very shy. So Allah give us the tawfiq, my dear brothers, that wherever we may be, we find no excuse to miss our salah. Then the next important advice is that we have to realize and understand that our izzat, our dignity and honor only lies in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the obedience of the teachings of Islam. Many a time a person falls into guna, into sin, because he feels that his honor and his dignity lies in his wealth, or in his degree, or in his looks. A person feels, I come from a family of wealthy people, long, many generations of wealthy people, so I also have to be wealthy. So now he adopts the haram means to acquire wealth. Why? Because he felt his izzat lies in wealth. Or a youngster, who's a good-looking youngster, and now everyone talks about his good looks. Now he feels, now how can I grow a beard? This will spoil my looks. Because he feels his izzat, his honor and dignity, lies in his looks. May Allah Ta'ala have mercy upon Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the pride of Islam, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That famous statement he made when he was traveling from Medina Munawwara, Khalifa at the time, from Medina Munawwara, he's going to Sham, and there he comes to face with a small stream. He jumps off his camel, he takes off his mozas, he puts it on his shoulders, wearing a kurta that is tattered and torn, and now he walks through that stream, pulling his camel by the reins. Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu ta'ala is with him. And tells him, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, you are the king of the Arabs. You are ruling a large part of the earth. If the people of Sham has to see you like this, they will lose respect for you. What a statement he made at that time, my dear brothers. He says, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ فَإِذَا ابْتَغَيْنَ الْعِزَّةَ بِغَيْرِهِ أَذَلَّنَ اللَّهُ. That we were people who were disgraced. And through Islam, Allah gave us honor and dignity. And as soon as we will look for honor and dignity anywhere else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disgrace us. So my dear brothers, our honor and izzat and dignity, if a person keeps this in mind, that my honor is in obeying Allah, in obeying Rasulullah, in obeying the teachings of Islam, then this will save a person from many, many sins. Then the next important thing, my dear brothers, is that we have to remain in good company. We have to remain in good company. If a person currently in his fridge at home, he has a jug of water, and he wants to drink this cold water at the time of iftar. Now if he goes home after this bayan, he goes home and he takes out the jug of water and he puts it on his kitchen counter. Then after some time, that water will come to room temperature. It will come to room temperature. For that water to keep cool, to remain cool, it had to remain in a cool environment. As soon as it takes out from the cool environment, it loses its coolness. Likewise, my dear brothers, in the month of Ramadan, every one of us, some sort of spirituality we have developed. We have developed some sort of coolness of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The coolness of salah, the coolness of itaat, the coolness of dhikr and dua. We've developed this. Now for us to maintain this here and to cause this to grow, after the month of Ramadan, we have to remain in good company. We have to remain in good company. And worse than that, if a person takes out the jug from the fridge and he puts it outside in the sun, then that water will not only lose its coolness, but now it will become hot and warm and difficult to drink. Then if we're going to join evil company after the month of Ramadan, then very quickly we will lose the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we'll go into a life of sin. I remember in our young days when we were in school, at that time Ramadan had been it was a blessing in disguise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was in the month of Ramadan, it used to be in December. And this very same masjid which attend the program of Hazrat Rahmatullah Alayh. And that feeling we will get, especially last 10 days, that feeling we get after the month of Ramadan, now we are spiritually energized, revitalized. We are pumping with iman. And then we go back to the school environment. And we all know very well how the school environment, and a very, very short while we find that we become deflated. And all that spiritual energy is lost. So very, very important that we remain in good company. Here in this country, we can never ever have an excuse. Alhamdulillah, every day of the week, there's some majlis of some sheikh taking place, or ingash, outgash, shab guzari, or some special program. So we have no excuse whatsoever. And if that is not possible too, then remain in the company of your parents, or remain in the company of your wife and children. A person, any sane person, will feel it very, very hard to commit gunas in the presence of his parents or in the presence of his wife and children. And was never remain idle. Never ever remain idle. An idle mind is a devil's workshop. Now we find something to do. Take up some hobby or some exercise. We all know how unfit we are. Take up some exercise at home, some exercise. Keep us occupied. And we know the cost of living is rising. So if we learn some DIY, something, some repairs in the home which we can do by ourselves, this will save us money, and more importantly, it will keep us occupied and save us from sins. So, my dear, the next important advice is, always remain in good company. Then, another important advice is that this cell phone, my dear brothers, the cell phone has destroyed us socially, and it destroyed us spiritually. So, like all modern technology, there are its pros and its cons. Like this microphone I'm speaking into. It has its pros and it has its cons. The pros are that people, if you have a big gathering or salah, big gathering, then the voice can reach a far off place. Or people, women or other people who are in some other location, the voice can reach them. That is the pros of the microphone. But the cons are that normally we have ijtimai amal, where we're all supposed to be sitting together. It's not only the bayan, but it's the unity that is created from this bayan. But when we have the microphone, the one person sitting in that corner of the masjid, another person in that corner of the masjid, and the unity will not be created. So the cell phone also has its pros and cons, but it has destroyed us socially and spiritually. Socially, because we go into our homes. Home is supposed to be a place of love, of understanding, of caring. But you go into a home at night, the father is busy on his WhatsApp with some business partner in Dubai, and the child is busy with his friend, and the daughter is speaking to her cousin, and the mother is speaking on her cell phone to her mother somewhere in some other part of the country. The cell phone has made the whole wide world come into the palm of our hands. It has shrunk the world into the palm of our hands, but it's taken our hearts and distanced it further than the east and the west. Brought the whole world into the palm of our hands, but taken our hearts and distanced it further than the east and the west. The cell phone, my dear brothers, we have to use it like how we use the toilet. Like how we use the toilet. No person, no sane person says, I have nothing to do now, so let me go and sit in the toilet. No one does this here. When a person has a need, then he goes to the toilet. And the people's needs vary. A person needs to go to the toilet, needs to urinate, then he might take 2 minutes. A person might have a stomach cramp or stomach is pain, he might take 15 minutes. Another person may take half an hour. But according to his need, he remains there. Likewise with the cell phone, a person might need to make a quick call. So that might take 1 minute. A person might need to type out an email. That may take 5 minutes. Or the youngster might need to do some research for school or university. He may take 1 hour or 2 hours. But as soon as now in our free time, we pick up that cell phone. And then we go onto YouTube. Maybe with good intentions at first. I would listen to the Qirat of Sheikh Sudais. And he'll see the listen to Qirat of Sheikh Sudais. And then related videos will come there. One some nasheed of some pop artist. Then he'll click on that. And he'll listen to that. And under related videos of that, you'll see one pretty face with the scarf and everything. The former actress or former singer. My miraculous journey to Islam. And he'll say, this looks interesting. And he'll click that. And then related videos will come there. Her former performances before she accepted Islam. One thing will lead to another until the person will get involved in looking at filth. The person will get involved in looking at filth. And when this comes into a person's life, looking at this filth, then the person will get married. He won't give it up. He'll have children. He won't give it up. His children will grow up. He will not give it up. He will become a grandfather and still he will find it hard to give up looking at this filth. It's like a drug addiction. Like how they say, do not take that first drug. Do not even pop that first drug. Because as soon as you pop that first drug, you will be hooked. Likewise, my dear, with that first click we make on haram, that will take us into a life of where we'll find it very, very difficult to give up looking at this filth. So my dear brother, the cell phone, use it wisely. Unfortunately, today as parents, many of us are there to blame. I'm not saying I'm absolved this year. I'm just as guilty. Many of us are there to blame. That young children, we give them cell phones. In the past, our fathers and our grandfathers, they had 10 children, 15 children, and they had businesses too, and some of them were on the road the whole day, but they managed fine without a cell phone. Life went on. But today a youngster, a 13-year-old boy tells me, no, Maulana, I need a cell phone. I must have a cell phone. And that youngster too has a driver. Every need of his is taken care of. The driver is there to pick him after school, take him to madrasa. Every need is, but I need a cell phone. So what you must do? Get him the state-of-the-art cell phone. If he needs a cell phone, really doesn't need a cell phone, then get him a basic cell phone. Why get him the state-of-the-art cell phone? So my dear brother, the cell phone is destructive. Be wise how we use it. Then the next thing, my dear brothers, is that we have to try, make an effort to stay away from all evil. All evil. But it's one particular evil. And our Ustad, Hazmona Mutala Sabdam Barakatu, from the day we entered madrasa up till now, he emphasizes this point. Bad Nazri. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, from this very same masjid, how much he used to emphasize upon this point. Hazrat Hakim Sahib Rahmatullah, how much he used to emphasize upon this point. Why? Why? Because Bad Nazri, casting evil glances, this has been described as a poisonous arrow of shaitan. A poisonous arrow of shaitan. The ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very sweet. The ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if done in a correct way, it is very, very sweet. Very, very sweet. Like how now, inshallah, Eid will be coming. A person takes that barfi, first lukma, very nice, very sweet. Then he wants another one, and another one. And if he doesn't watch himself, he ends up eating the whole container. Like some people I know, one bar of chocolate is not good enough for them. They need to eat slabs at a time. Slabs at a time. So, it's very, very sweet. So the person does ibadah, it's sweet. He wants to do more and more and more. But when he makes bad nazri, then this brings about bitterness in his heart. Brings about bitterness in his heart. Like that child. A child who's the first 2 years of his life. The only thing he knows is to suckle upon his mother. Only thing he knows is to drink the milk from his mother. He is passionately in love with drinking milk. The only thing he knows. And then, when the 2 years are over now, and almost over, and the mother wants to wean that child off that milk, he having medicine, which is very, very bitter, herbal medicine. The mother puts it on the breast. And then that child, who for the two years knew nothing but drinking milk, now he drinks that once, and it's too bitter, and he can't take it, and overnight he gives up drinking breast. Overnight he gives up drinking breast. My dear brothers, in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is sweetness. But when we are going to make bad nazri, then this will bring bitterness. Then a person will make ibadat, and then he will say, this is not for me, this is too difficult, this is too hard, and he will leave out the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last thing, my dear brothers, the other thing I want to speak of, but time is up, but the last thing, very, very important as well, is that we may make it a point that we only consume that which is halal. And our income, our source of revenue is absolutely halal. Absolutely halal. Because as a Muslim, this is something very, very important in the life of a Muslim. Because the acceptance of our du'as depends upon consuming that which is halal. Depends upon earning that which is halal. If you're going to eat haram, then our actions are going to be haram and our du'as will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it very, very clear to us. What a beautiful hadith. He says, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنُونَ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنُونَ. Halal is absolutely clear. We all know, fruit, bananas, apples, absolutely halal. That animal slaughtered in the name of Allah, absolutely halal. You bought something for 10 rand, you sold it for 15 rand, something halal, something permissible. Bought it for 10 rand, sold it for 15 rand. That 5 rand you made is absolutely halal for you. Somebody gave you a gift of money, absolutely halal for you. وَإِنُ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنُونَ. And haram is absolutely clear. Which Muslim does not know that wine is haram? Khinzir, pork is haram. Which Muslim does not know that interest is haram? Absolutely clear. But Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that in between halal and haram, there is that grey area. That grey area. وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبِهَاتٌ. And many people are oblivious of this grey area. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, فَمَنْ وَقَعَ فِي الشُّبُعَاتِ وَقَعَ فِي الْحَرَامِ. That person who will get involved in doubtful things. You know, there are certain investments that all the ulama are not very happy about. There's still that cloud of doubt over it. Or a certain restaurant, ulama are not too happy about the supply of the meat in that restaurant. So that is doubtful, leave it out. The rule is, when in doubt, leave it out. As soon as we get involved in doubt, we soon get involved in doubtful things, then the day will come where gradually, slowly, we'll fall headlong into haram. And Allah's Nabi in his hadith, may we be sacrificed for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What a muallim, what a teacher. Ask any person in a teaching field, You can throw theory and qaida at the child. He will not understand it properly until you don't give him a practical example. What an example Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us. He says like a person has a herd of sheep. He's in an area where he's allowed to graze his animals. And a little far away from there, there is a sanctuary. A place where he's not supposed to graze the animals. Now as long as the person stays far away from the borders of the sanctuary, he'll be safe. His animals will not trespass. But If he takes his animals close to the border of the sanctuary, then eventually the day will come where his animals will trespass the sanctuary and they'll begin to graze in that area where they're not supposed to be grazing. Our du'as are dependent upon us consuming, us earning halal. Allah's Nabi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mentioned to us an incident of a person. He says, yutilu safar, ash'atha, afbara. The person went on a long journey. And now the person is in a pathetic state, covered in dust. His hair is disheveled, he's in a pathetic state. And we know that a person in safar is a means for his du'a to be accepted. A person in a pathetic state is a means for his du'a to be accepted. But this person now, he raises his hands towards the sky. Ya Rabbi, Ya Rabbi. He makes du'a. The reasons, the causes for the situations for his du'a to be accepted are found. Allah's Nabi said, وَمَطْعَمُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَشْرَبُهُ حَرَامٌ وَمَلْبَسُهُ حَرَامٌ وَغُذِيَ بِالْحَرَامٌ فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ لَهُ. But this person, his food was haram, his drink was haram, his clothing was from haram sources, he is nourished from head to toe in haram. How can the dua of this person ever be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So my dear brothers, a few advices that we have learned from our satiza and from our mashayikh regarding that after the month of Ramadan, how should we be spending our time? And main thing, my dear brothers, we have to have himmat. We have to have courage. We have to have courage to give up sins. Hazrat Andi rahmatullah alayhi, he said regarding bad nazri, but this will fit for all other gunas as well. He says, bad nazri ke liye muqamat nafs ke siwa koi ilaj nahi. He says, to cure a person, to cure himself from the sickness of evil glances, there is no special zikr is going to help him. No special wazifa going to help him. No special salah he can read that now the salah will save me. Rather, what a person do is to have courage. At that time when he's presented with that situation, he has to have the courage. I am not going to look. Like Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. When Zulaykha wanted to seduce him for the second time, then what time? She said, either you give in to me or I throw you into the prison. So what was his dua at that time there? قَالْ رَبِّ السِّجْنُ وَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَلْعُونَنِي إِلَيَّ. Immediately he turns his attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as I mentioned, tawfiq to stay from sin only comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dua and himmat and courage. He said, Allah, I rather go to prison. Allah, I rather go to prison than give in to the sin of zina which this woman is calling me towards. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq and these few hours or few days left of the month of Ramadan. Allah ta'ala allow us to worship Him in a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to worship Him. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ.